G&J Pepsi-Cola Bottlers proudly presents BBN Chalk Talk, a sports show with a distinct Kentucky flavor.
Welcome to BBN Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi-Cola Bottling. My name is Max Gabby. With me always is Matt Smith and Greg Lau. We've got a great show for you. It's breaking to us, maybe not for you anymore. Wandale Robinson commits 100% to Nebraska. Respect his decision. All SEC teams and individual awards, Stoops and Allen keeps rolling through the awards.
So does Stoops.
Who's not on the, and then we're going to talk about who's not on the list and probably should be.
I wasn't.
We're going to do a Seton Hall preview for men's basketball, a Rhode Island preview of women's basketball, and then volleyball, the Nebraska and Minnesota preview. And then, of course, my favorite time of the week, the fattest thing I did this week.
Which we always do on the last show of the week.
It's not true. It's not true. And there's so much evidence that it's not true. And Matt knows it.
Okay.
And Matt decided to get political.
I thought about it, and you know why you both are fighting over this? Is because last week we only did one new episode. So it was both. You both were right last week. Because last week we used the podcast or the radio show, turned it into a podcast, and then we just waited till later in the week. So technically it was our first of the week, but it was also our last one of the week. So,
but the week before that.
Yeah, I don't remember back that far.
Okay. But
someone look it up and tell us who's right. It's going to be me. But Matt, Lyle, how we doing?
We're good. Cold weather's back here a little bit. I love cold weather, so I'm good right now.
Thing I love about cold weather is anything I get out of the garage, beverage-wise, water, monsters, beverages are cold.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Yep. I got a 12-pack of Pepsi Maxes that I just set in the garage.
Do you just drink that because your name's on it?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
It's got my name on it, and it has zero calories. What more can I ask for in life? And why I love G&J as a sponsor, and why I drank several of their products today while I was on the road in two different states, I will say that tonight I'm enjoying a nice house Cabernet from the local liquor store down the street from my house.
You're just so fancy over there.
I am.
Sprung for the good stuff, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, let's not get too carried away. It's still a cheap bottle of wine. So I went to a wine tasting with some neighbors of ours who are like super fancy. Like they outclass us like a lot, but for me that's not a lot. But for Ashley, no, it's a casual. Still have to wear a collared shirt and khakis, but it's somewhat casual. And they bought us like two glasses of this this wine to taste, and they told us the price on the bottle, and they said, yeah, we get this, at least get one of these bottles once a week or anytime we come down here. And it was a $130 bottle of wine. And I went, I think the most expensive bottle of wine I think I've ever bought was $14. And that was for an anniversary.
That's impressive. Good for you.
Thanks.
Splurging.
I splurge for Ashley.
Oh man, she's so proud, I'm sure.
She is. I hope she is.
Yeah, you better keep hoping.
Yeah. Wait until she sees her birthday gift. I got her a discounted iPhone from somewhere. It's all in Arabic, but it's a win-win. It's informative and it's an iPhone.
And it has an orange on the back of it instead of an apple.
Well, it's a banana on the back.
Banana. It's your banana phone.
And it's not technically an iPhone. I think they called it a Q-phone.
Q-phone, yeah.
Because it's not technically a rectangle. It's in the shape of a Q.
Yeah.
With a banana. Go figure. But breaking news. Wandale Robinson flips his commitment from the University of Kentucky to Nebraska. And it is a tale of two cities where this time for the Georgia game, correct, Lyle, what you said?
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's right. The Georgia week is whenever.
Georgia week, Nebraska fans were losing their absolute mind over a teenager picking a school. And now today, December 5th, UK fans, some UK fans are losing their ever-loving mind because a teenager, shocker, changed his mind about something.
And we all know verbal commitments are just that. They're not legal. They're not binding till they write their name on the piece of paper. That's why I wish back in my day, you sat down in front of a table and you had a couple hats in front of you and you picked one and you signed your paperwork.
Yep.
Why do we get involved with all these kids that give a verbal commits? I mean, it's just like, you know, the recruiting list now. I was talking about this tonight at dinner because we've got a friend of the family who's a baseball kid like Greg is that still hadn't decided where he's going to go, and he's running out of options because almost all the 2019 classes are full.
Yeah.
And most of the 2020 classes are three quarters of the way full. Most of the 2021 classes are halfway full. Why? So much can happen in 2-3 years.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's just amazing what goes on. And so for fans, I mean, that's one of our big things here on the show. We mention athletes in our tweets, but it's usually when they're in the tweet, you know, if we're posting a video with them in it or something like that, or if we want to comment that they did something good, their stats or something like that. But other than that, we don't mess with recruits that way. We don't do any of that. So people need to stop all that going after him and blasting him on social media and stuff like that because he changed his mind. You know what? He never signed his paperwork.
Yeah.
Back in my day.
You're not a commit until you sign the paperwork.
A commitment meant something back in the day. These kids are their PS4s and their.
And what are they upset about? I mean, okay, true to what you said, Max. He was put on the spot by what's his name over the other three letter up, you know, show in town. He's put on the spot about the Jeff Brohm question, and he said he would talk to him. So right then and there, you should have known he wasn't committed to the university.
100%. Yep.
And first of all, this is how bad. And I almost want to say. I wonder who's helping him with these decisions and who is mentoring him through this, because he said he would talk to Jeff Brohm if he went to U of L. Well, here, I don't know if you fully understand how this works, but if Jeff Brohm wasn't recruiting you at Purdue, he's not going to be recruiting you at U of L. Just because he moved in state, he's not going to go after you. He's getting in-state top quality athletes, Rondell Moore, Milton Wright. He's getting them up in Purdue. So, I mean, I just don't ever think he was 100% committed in it. I personally think he came out and verbally committed when he did to get some hype, get his name out there. He was in the running for a lot of in-state awards, wanted to get. I mean, not necessarily. I've heard some people say, well, that guarantees him to win Mr. Football and all that stuff. No, but I think it keeps his name out there.
Right.
So – it is what it is. See ya. I don't want you in the locker room then.
And this is my take on it. So it's not as much for me of Wandell Robinson changing his mind or people saying he's the dirtiest liar. No, he's a teenager. He's a teenager that can't make up his mind. Like that's what it comes down to. And if anyone's to blame for this, it's fan bases. It's all these websites that make these recruiting things. I mean, the whole concept of recruiting now has turned, Matt, from the time you and I played and were quote-unquote, for you, recruited, for me, quote-unquote, recruited, but then especially for Lyle, how much it's changed. I mean, it's turned into a daggum show. It's turned into a dog and pony show now. Yep. It just doesn't make sense anymore. And people go, well, what happened back to the days when a commitment was a commitment? I don't know. Stop blowing the kids' Twitter up about hashtag this, hashtag that. You know, be loyal, all this stuff. And stop sending them all these crazy things about your school and why your school's so great. And all of a sudden, now we go from a top 50 list to a top 25 list, top 10 list. Respect by decision. No interviews. No questions. And we just get to this point now as a society that we are parading around 17, 18-year-old kids think they're going to be futures of the program, which they are. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that's why you recruit. You bring in future talent. But, I mean, they haven't even proved anything yet. Matt, you and I played with guys that recruited that were 4-stars and 5-stars that were turned out to be duds.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
Absolute duds. And
yeah. I mean, look at Josh Allen, what he's done. 2-star.
Exactly. Larry Warford, 2-star. Randall Cobb, 2-star. Alex Smith, who came to UK, who was supposed to have the starting job at tight end his first day, 4-star. Didn't play one snap at UK.
Yep.
One snap. And people get all just the whole thing has gotten so out of control. And people come up to me and go, well, what do you think about this guy's commitment? What do you think about this? What do you think about this high school kid? He's pretty good also. He said, yeah, he played against some county schools. He hasn't played SEC ball. Like, we've put so much interest and in, no, not interest, obsession. Grown men obsessing over teenagers about stuff they do on football. It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. Focus on your teams on the offseason. Follow the recruiting a little bit. Sure, I understand that's how some people make money, but my gosh, people, you're gonna let Wandale Robinson flip pick to Nebraska ruin your day. I know a dude that's got stage 4 cancer right now that's still just trying to make grasp and sense of all of it, but still going out and doing his job and still trying to do life the best he can right now under some horrific circumstances. And I've got a guy telling me on Twitter how he's not going to be able to sleep tonight knowing that there's a kid that just lies about commitments. Like, are you serious? That's nuts.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that just absolutely blows my mind.
No, I agree with you. I mean, we've been through it and know what it, you know, what it takes. And you know, none of us have been at this level of, you know, sure, we were recruited and sure, you know, coaches were talking to us and things like that about coming to play at certain places, whether it was D1 or not. But the thing about it is, you get a guy, and I don't know Wandale. I don't know him personally. I don't know what kind. I'm sure he's a great kid from, you know, reports that have been out there. So this isn't anything aimed at him. This is just aimed at those individuals who get influenced easily, which it's easy to do when you got family and friends that you think are close to you that are influencing you to do one thing, in this case, pick Kentucky, when your heart has been saying Nebraska the whole time. If that's true, then that's true, and I'm glad he ended up going with his heart on this. But what you don't want to happen is guys that end up as 4-stars, All-American in high school, guys that get 20-plus offers. The minute that things show a struggle – and here's the other thing. The coaches have to play to these guys as to what these kids want to hear in order to get them to come to play for them. Now, the problem is once they step foot on campus, that fairy tale ends and you get smacked with reality. And if it's a situation where you aren't producing and you're not getting to the field right away – who's to say he doesn't try to leave and go somewhere else? We see it more often than not nowadays when someone doesn't get their way or someone's not where they think they should be, whether they worked for it or it was just a different circumstance. Kids are transferring left and right because they feel like they can get a better opportunity somewhere else. I'm not saying this is going to happen with him. I'm just saying we're seeing it so often that you can't, like Max and Greg have both said, I'd take anything – the commitment until that time, I take nothing for, you know, for word on what that is. It shouldn't be called a verbal commitment. So I don't know. It's just, it blows my mind too.
Your internet kind of skipped and it almost sounded like you were cussing and it bleeped yourself out. Like it self-muted you.
I have a new app on my computer that bleeps me out. It catches it while I'm saying it live.
I don't give up. What happens? It doesn't matter with the... kind of key, but it was great. It was perfect.
Wow. Perfect timing. Nice.
Like, wow, he's self-censoring. I don't have to keep my finger on the button. That's nice. Yeah. As a producer, it's easy.
You're welcome, Greg.
Thank you. My job's easy. I'm done. I'm going back to bed. Yeah, but I know. And that's why, you know, like, we don't get into a whole lot of recruiting. We'll talk about recruits, and you know, when we hear something, oh, this would be great to have this guy. But I don't even go back. I mean, like Max, you said, there's some guys out there that make their living off of these recruiting sites and going out and giving them the ratings and talking about and having these websites that has the next 4 classes already lined out for Kentucky and whoever they're covering. Until they sign in the early signing period, or if they sign in February in the traditional signing period, I'm not getting hyped up about them. I'm not going out and looking up their stats because it makes no sense to do that until they actually sign. They are not a recruit until they sign. Now they're a UK recruit. Now they're coming to campus. Now you can't get out of it. And like you said, come August or now July, when they walk on campus, if anybody's ever seen the movie, The Program, that's got the perfect example of it. You know, the kid goes to school. He goes on his recruiting visit. They got the cheerleaders in the band welcoming him when he gets off the bus. And then here come the summer when he gets off the bus. There's one of the linemen show up to pick him up. Come on, let's go. We're all the cheerleaders and stuff now. Yep, no, you're not going to do No, come on. Carry your bag. Get mine, too, while you're at it.
Yep. Everything changes.
Oh, yeah.
And then the most awkward moment during recruiting, after you're done getting recruited, is when you finally you go into the coach's office and say, hey, Max, what are you doing this evening? I said, nothing. He goes, we want you to show around and recruit. I was like, okay, sure, I could do that. And then all of a sudden you start talking to the recruit, and they go, so what position you play? Center. Really? It's like, and then you're starting to put the puzzle together. It's like, wait, Matt's leaving. It's like, oh, shoot, they're recruiting over my head. Then you start realizing that these recruits are coming in. As a current player, you're just like, oh, crap, they're coming in. They're trying to recruit over me so they can kick me out and bring this kid in.
Yeah, we were talking about that. I was talking about that with G whenever he was getting recruited by Pikeville. And then we went for his official visit in the practice, and he thought there was like a catcher per year that they recruited. And I said, all right, catchers, grab your gear. We're going to work on these throwdown drills. And like eight guys put gear on. It's like, yeah. And then like out of this recruiting class, they signed like two or three guys that are catchers. And I'm like, dude, it happens. You know what? Guess what's going to happen next year? They're going to sign two more. Guess what happens the year after that? They're going to sign two more. In the time that you're here, you're going to see probably eight other catchers come through. Just relax. Yeah. Just go out and do your thing. Yep. It is what it is. So it's crazy. But don't attack the kid.
No.
That's just uncalled for. I mean, we all know he's going to the land of corn. We all get that. We all know he's going to a middle-tier Big Ten school. We know
they're
that.
They're low-tier.
We all know he's probably not going to see a bowl game his whole time there. We get it. It's his decision. It's what he wants to do. Good luck, kid. Go on. And, you know, and like we said, we've had some issues in our locker room over the last few years that we've heard the rumblings about, and people that were playing for something, for themselves and not for the team. And we don't have that problem these days. We've got a group of guys in that locker room that want to play for something bigger than themselves. And I think we're better off if this is the kind of mentality he's got going into it during his recruiting process. Let him go.
There is one great thing about Nebraska over Kentucky.
What?
Think of all the stuff that they have. They've got to have good cornbread there. Oh, good corn dip.
Are you going to spend the next 10 minutes just listing out things with corn?
Basically. Great. That's probably really fresh fire roasted corn on the cob. Get authentic.
Like Bubba Gump over here, and they marry time type of shrimp.
Corn tortillas. Oh, my goodness. And then good corn to go into your vegetable soup. Let's see. What else? Buttered corn or cream of corn. Your standard just corn on the cob that's put on the grill. There we go. I wanted to make sure the music was still going. They probably have some sort of corn dessert in Nebraska that they only eat.
Oh, you outlasted my soundbite.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. That's the end of it.
Nice.
Moving on.
I thought you were changing styles of corn, so I was going to change styles of music for you.
I don't think there's as much corn recipes as there probably are. See, this was such late breaking, I couldn't do the proper research on my corn. The band corn, they probably go to Nebraska.
Probably no? not.
Okay. Probably not.
Yeah. No.
Okay. I've been there once. Yeah. That's when I injured my knee. So I don't have big fond memories of Lincoln, Nebraska.
Hey, did you know this? Nebraska is actually the third largest corn producing state in the U.S.
Behind
number Indiana, one, isn't it? Illinois is number one, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't have the list. I just have that.
You know, I just have that fact.
The movie Nebraska won a few Academy Awards.
There was a movie?
Yeah. It was a black and white movie.
Iowa's number one, Illinois is number two.
Oh.
Where's Illinois? Indiana? I thought Indiana would fall in there.
Yeah. Let's see. They're probably up there. Let's see. Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, Indiana. Top five.
Minnesota.
Kentucky's 14.
Did you know that Frito-Lay is responsible for purchasing 1% of all the corn in the United States? Just think, just think of the amount of like corn distribution in the in the United States. 1% is actually a big amount.
Yeah, I'm trying to see how much corn's in the U.S.
How much corn? Was there, just like a corn tariff that was just put on? Lima beans, I think it was. Soybeans. Soybeans. It was a tariff on soybeans going to China. Huh. Some sort of Trump tariff that hit because Tyler Browsey, who is a former UK linebacker, we're all still really good friends, and my parents are really good friends with his parents, and his dad's a farmer, and he's got like 6 farms of soybeans.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
The U.S. produces 90 million acres of corn every year.
See, I can't picture that, so it's not that impressive to me.
It's a lot.
90 million. How big's your lot that your house sits on, Max?
Probably right at an acre.
Okay. Now, 900 million of your homes.
No, first of all, it was only 90 million. Not 900 million.
Okay. Still, that's still a lot.
Yeah.
90 million.
Let's see what state is comparable to 90 acres. 90 million acres.
90
Montana
million.
Is 90, Montana is 94 million acres. So the size of Montana. Montana's worth of corn.
That's a lot of corn.
And you have 1%, and Frito-Lay does 1% of that.
Yeah.
So the size of Rhode Island. Segway, just kidding. We're not there yet.
Yeah. Oh. Not as easy as it is. Isn't it?
Now we just have to go.
Remember when messed everybody up.
So anyway, it's not a good segue, but no. What about all these team and individual awards?
Man, how about those awards? Coach Stoops ranking in some dough with some of these awards too.
He's making a lot of money.
Did we find out if he's getting paid for all these awards?
I have not found the contract. It's laying around here somewhere.
I'm sure he can negotiate now.
Coach Stoops contracts at your house.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. quick reference.
Nice.
AP, SEC Coach of the Year, and the SEC Coaches Coach of the Year. You know, do you think like he called the rest of the coaches and said, hey, guys, I get a cool $250,000 if I get this thing.
Yeah, do me a solid.
I'll float you $10,000. Give me the nod. I'll put a check in the mail. No,
you wonder,
he deserves it.
You wonder if it's ever happened to where is a situation where the coach is like, yeah, I'm not going to pick this guy because I don't want him to win. I'm going to pick someone that no one else will think of and pick this guy. And, but all the coaches do that, and they end up picking, like, Auburn's coach to win. And
I do know at the high school level when the all-district voting and stuff comes around, there is politicking that goes on. If they feel if a coach feels a guy deserves it and is probably going to wind up a few votes short, I do have heard of coaches calling other coaches to say, hey, help me out. I'll help you out.
Interesting. Yeah, and so we also talked about the 4 guys that got the AP All-SEC awards on the last podcast, but just coming out today that Bunchy and Josh Allen were named first team All-America by the All-America, not just All-SEC, All-America by TheAthletic.com. And so, you know, we saw that and we're tweeting about because it happened. You know how long that award show for the Nagurski Award lasted? Like, they didn't announce it until 10:30, and they were there since 6. 4.5 hours that they were there doing different presentations, having different speakers and all that stuff. I was like, good Lord. So I sat there and watched it live as the UK football account was Instagramming live, I guess, is a verb. Instagram a verb now. But they had it live on there, so he won the Bronco Nagurski Trophy. And then Josh Allen, I know we were looking for the list last time, but he is
yeah, do you have it? I've got it here, too.
I got what Tony sent out. So,
yeah, that's what I have.
Okay, the Walter Camp National Player of the Year, the Butkus Award, which is the nation's best linebacker, the Chuck Bednarik Award, which is the Defensive Player of the Year, the Lott Impact Trophy, Defensive Player of the Year, and Ted Hendricks Award, Defensive End of the Year. A lot of these are actually going to be on, I think they're presenting on the College Football Awards, right?
ESPN tomorrow night.
Yep.
And if you thought waiting on the Nagurski, that show goes on forever.
Yeah, it starts at 7. It's going to go for a long time. So, yeah, it'll be he's up for several
more. Tons of stuff more. And then the coaches poll came out, which pretty much mirrored what we saw as far as first team with Josh and Bunchy and Benny going on it. The only difference was, you know, with Lynn being the second team.
All purpose.
And then in the AP, you had Mike Edwards make the second team there. He was not on the second team. The coaches. Individual awards from the SEC did come out today. Coach Stoops, once again, was the AP and the coaches' coach of the year. And Josh Allen was the AP and the coach's choice for defensive player of the year.
Yep.
So lots of stuff still coming through on that. Yes, it's fun to watch through social media all those folks, Tony and Slacks and all them on their what do they call it? The Josh Allen Award Season Tour.
Yeah.
Because he's got a full UK media photographer, videographer.
Yep.
And I'm sure Tony and Slacks are with him, and Coach Stoops and the coaches are joining him at stops, and I'm sure Mitch will probably be down there tomorrow. And
Just think about the difference. Like, if I just think about Tony in situations like this, and I think with Josh Allen, I think he's fine because Josh is like a cool, calm, collected kind of guy. If Benny was in this situation where he was jumping around city to city and up for all these awards, just think of, like, Tony would not sleep. He would just be worried about what's Benny going to do next, what's he going to go get himself into, just all over the place because Benny loves himself some Benny.
What happens next year when Cash's name is being mentioned for this stuff?
Yeah. No interviews, pictures only.
Hi, my name's Tony Neely. I'm here to accept the award for Cash Daniels.
Unfortunately, Cash couldn't come tonight.
I'm right here, Tony.
No,
you're not. That's not Cash.
Nothing you see over there. Nothing you see. Eyes up here. Eyes front.
Oh, man.
That's not Cash Daniel. That's Bash Samuel. Yeah, Bash Samuel.
He has some of the best stuff he talks about.
Oh, yeah.
Kowalski last weekend in the press conference talking about the comparing him to the couch really ties the room together. Yeah. He goes, don't y'all get it, Big Lebowski?
Yep. Oh, God. I don't know where he thinks of some of these things just on the fly. It's just so – but he's like, I mean, he's got some Mike Leach to him, but
he does. He
does saying whatever he wants to.
And then it was after the UofL game. We were doing interviews with him, and he's sitting there, and he's talking. And then he notices he does it, you know, the gesture with his hands. He goes, oh, wait a minute. I don't know what to do with my hands. And, like, half the people are like, looking around like, what is going on? And I'm sitting there laughing. But, no, he's fun to talk to. He's scary at times when he's not in a good mood, but he's fun to talk to.
Yep. Man. But, I mean, some of the guys that we thought might get on the list but weren't, I mean, I understand that they're not because there's so many good players within the SEC. But, and, you know, it's I've thought a lot about CJ getting on some of these lists. We just didn't give him enough opportunity as an offense to be on the list. And, you know, whenever he was thrown the ball, he caught it for the most of the time. Yeah. But he just wasn't thrown enough. Yeah, he had, what, 2 or 3 catches a game, maybe max. He just didn't get enough production, and you know, guys like Cash and West out there, you think they might get considered possibly. I wish we could see some of the votes to see if they were even like voted upon by anybody. I'd just be curious to see that.
I really thought with the AP being media and being writers that cover it, I know how we're not to that level. But I know how focused we get on UK. Yes, we kind of pick up on some players. Like right now, I couldn't tell you a name and number of a guy from another team without really thinking about it, you know, having to sit back. So when they come out, it's hard. So I didn't really expect them to come through the AP. I thought just our big names, the ones that you hear, the ones that got it.
Right.
But whenever it came to the coaches' poll, because the coaches know a little bit more, they do a little more in-depth film study. That's where I thought CJ might crop in at the second team because they understand it's not just all about what you catch and how many touchdowns you score when you're a tight end.
Right. It's true.
And there's a lot of things that he does. So I thought he might have come in then, and then I really thought West would have. I really thought Cash might have sneaked in there. In the same, I mean, yeah. You don't lead the SEC in tackles for half the year without creating some buzz for yourself.
Right.
Yep. So yeah. I was a little shocked with that. A little shocked.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the good thing about CJ is, even though he's missing on some of the accolades, he's still going to get paid.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's still going to get money.
That's why CJ, if I'm CJ, I'm sitting home going, it'd have been nice, but
yeah,
wait till April.
Right.
Right.
And I write my name on a piece of paper and get a large check for writing my name on a piece of paper.
Yeah. True. So I know this isn't on the list, but I feel like it's something that we kind of have to talk about. What about Urban Meyer?
What about him?
He left.
He retired.
He's got some health things going on.
He left.
He retired.
He left. He saw that the cupboard was getting bare, and he said, I'm done. I can't handle this anymore.
The College Football Playoff Committee made him retire. Forced his hand. No, I mean, it's probably, I mean, he that's got to be one of the most stressful jobs to be in a program like that, that expects nothing but, you know, championships from their fans, whether it's right or wrong, that's what they expect. And to try to live up to that when you're going against teams that are much better, and which your fans are still delusional and thinking that you should be won all the time, every time. I don't blame him. A lot of people thought, hey, maybe he'll take the Louisville job. Nope. Talk about a stressful job.
See, this is how I know your take was bad, because the internet told you to stop.
To do it again.
Yeah.
The Wi-Fi. Internet.
Well, if you quit cutting the cable.
It's true. Revenge.
The spikes is everywhere.
Exactly.
The connections don't all go together. Yeah, you know, I put that out, and that's before I heard that he was, you know, retiring for medical reasons, and he has had some issues over the years. But I really think he's probably done now.
Yeah.
With it. And there comes a point in time where your health and your well-being and spending time with family is more important. And he's done enough in this game and has put enough money away to where, you know, he can go out and enjoy life now.
Let's just make sure. And Matt, I don't want to twist your words on this, but the stress that he was under at Ohio State was probably slim to none. I mean, for crying out loud, he had an assistant beat the holy piss out of his wife and said nothing about it. And everyone wanted him fired. And they're like, well, we'll just go 3-game suspension. I can't do it. But if that's what the university wishes, I'm sorry that people found out. If you can keep your job after all that.
It's stressful keeping all those secrets.
Yeah.
I saw a tweet said, I'm just glad that Urban Meyer was finally able to go to his superiors about something.
Yeah.
After his retirement. I don't know, because I just – after all the crap that started coming out about him at Florida, after Florida Press, Florida media started – coming out about him saying, well, look at all this stuff that he was doing at Florida, that he pretty much threatened people about. And like, still even the gang relations with Aaron Hernandez within Florida, and how much there was gang related stuff going on within the program, and actually how dirty the program is. And probably because people didn't notice it, because Tim Tebow really was a great, and I don't mean that negative about Tim Tebow, but he was a great distraction from all the stuff that was going on inside Florida's program, all that.
I've not looked this up, and I know I've heard him talk about it. Were Hernandez and Tebow on the team at the same time?
Yes.
Talk it, about opposite
people. Yeah.
Right.
Jeez. I'm wondering if he recruited Tebow. He's like, all right, I got Tebow. I can now recruit anyone I want because I got Tebow to cover for me now.
It's true.
The scales of justice. You over here.
It's because, look, you had the Pouncey Twins, which I don't think the Pouncey Twins ever got into trouble. They were just known as dirty players, but I liked the way that they played.
Yeah.
You had Cooper on there. He was a guy that called one of his teammates the N-word when he was at the Eagles. Sorry, Matt. And then you had Aaron Hernandez on that team that killed people. So, and it's like, wait, there's this stuff going on. It's like, oh, look, there's Tim Tebow. Look, he's over there, guys. Go say hi to him.
Yeah.
You recruited a known gang member that has a record.
Wait, what? That's Tim Tebow at the homeless shelter. Go have take pictures.
Tim Tebow
yet?
Have you met Tim Tebow? The reporters come in. It's been reported, Aaron. Have you met Tim Tebow? Tim, come here.
Timmy, Tim Tebow's going to speak on the behalf of Aaron Hernandez today. Thank you.
Timmy, we need you.
See, and all that with Urban Meyer, and then for him at Florida, after the cupboard's bare, to him to say, I've got health issues. I'm not coaching. Coaching's horrible for my health. I'm not doing it anymore, and I want to spend time with my family. Then a year later, the Ohio State job opens up, and he goes, well, I think my health can take it now. It's like, dude.
Tim Tebow came over to had dinner, and we talked, and I felt better. Yeah. So I can
continue. Urban leaving is going to be like when Spurrier left. He's just a guy you love to hate while he's coaching, and now it makes it a little less fun.
No, because at least Spurrier was entertaining.
That is true, yeah.
Urban's not entertaining.
That's fair.
Like, not at all. And, like, even this year. And then after saying, well, I think our team really deserved the playoffs because of all the adversity they hit today.
Yeah.
Because of stuff you did.
Well.
Because of everything you did.
Everybody motivates their team in different ways. And, I mean, that's the way he motivated his. I'm going to put you through some stuff. You're going to come out better for it. Just not in the playoff system.
If we had an 18 playoff system, we would have gotten in, and these kids would have deserved it. And I was just shocked that Ohio State didn't go into like more of a coaching search. I think they made two errors. If you're going to go with a head coach, you probably should have gone with Greg Schiano, in my opinion.
Well, it's the guy that led him the first 3 weeks when Urban was suspended.
Yeah, but Greg Schiano was also the head coach at Rutgers when they were ranked in the top 10.
Now, didn't he get in some trouble too?
I don't think so. No, he was in the news because he got the head coaching job at Tennessee and all the Tennessee fans said no.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And they said, send him back. Send him back. He was hired and fired in 6 hours.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What an awkward phone call for the AD. Hey, Greg, yeah.
You can hear the sirens and everything from all the fires going around. We've had some issues here at Tennessee.
Talk about influencing and commitment issues. Talking about Wandell Robinson, an 18-year-old that can't keep his commitment. The friggin' AD for Tennessee couldn't even do it.
Well, that's true.
Getting pressure.
That's the worst part because they were saying, like, he's going to get fired. AD, you're going to get fired over this. Oh, shoot, I need to get rid of Schiano. Schiano ain't going to work out. All right, I got rid of him. Throw him out. Throw him out. And then they fired him the next day.
Yeah, right. Right.
It's like, I did exactly what you told me to do.
That hiring decision, we just couldn't get over it. You're fired too. To you. Your thought process.
Then Phil Fulmer comes in and goes, remember when I won the 98 national championship? Yeah. I bring it in an Alabama guy. Yeah. What? Yeah.
Wow.
Do you think there's anybody in the Tennessee program that it's just like every time Phil speaks up, they're like, we know. You won the national championship back in 98. We get it. We get it.
Did you know I won the SEC championship, though, 3 times in a row? Yes.
Yes, okay. We get it.
You know, Peyton Manning, I did that.
We know. I beat Bobby Bowden once. We know.
You know what I know?
What do you know, Lyle?
I know that today there are more marketing channels, mediums, and opportunities than any other time in history for somebody that has a business to get advertising.
Really?
You know why I know that?
How?
Because I have a business that puts people out there to advertise. Do you know it's a fact that radio's audience continues to grow, adding new listeners by the millions every year? That's a lot of room in Montana for Max.
Wow. A
whole lot of room.
That's a whole lot of room for Max. And now with podcasts and more streaming audio in the mix, the universe of listeners continues to expand. So that goes into Idaho now, Max. We're Montana and Idaho.
So basically I turned to a free-range host?
Yeah, it's like corn and potatoes. It's like you mix corn and potatoes together. That's how much of a universe of listeners can listen to now.
That's a Thanksgiving volcano right there.
There you go. When it comes to impacting customer behavior, nothing succeeds quite like radio. Listening to a show is an activity that involves our attention. Like, you know, running the show involves our attention from sometimes. Our imagination and our engagement. Psychologists believe that the sort of cognitive processing is why radio is so much more effective at influence behavior. And because radio is often part of our communities and daily habits, it is one of the most trusted ways to advertise. How many of y'all turn a radio on when you get in the shower? I do.
All the time.
I always turn it on. I mean, I can't imagine now. I mean, in your car, there's so many different ways that you can listen to podcasts. You can listen to music. You can stream all kinds of stuff. So whether it's getting people to go online and make a purchase or stopping into a restaurant or spreading word about a product, nothing works better than radio. If you think that BB and Chalk Talk is a great place to advertise and is a good fit for your company, we want to know all the different ways we can help you reach more customers. If you want to know that information, hit us up at info@bbandchalktalk.com. We'll follow up with you and answer any questions you might have or be able to provide you a sample of what we can do for you. So let us know. info@bbandchalktalk.com.
We've got now,
a lot to pay attention now. Wait. I love how as soon as I started into my segment to pitch advertising, all I saw were the top of your heads. Update, check phone, what's going on?
Did we fall asleep or were we looking at our phone?
I don't know. Either way, that's why I made it.
I was trying to be interactive today.
Yeah, I wasn't ready for the interaction.
So
that's what made it fun for me. What do you guys think? What? Huh? Who?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Agreed.
Uh-huh. Sure. Why not? We've got a lot of previews. It's like sitting in the movie theater before a movie starts. We got previews after previews after previews. Seton Hall, Rhode Island, Nebraska, and Minnesota.
Yes.
Well, let's start off with Seton Hall.
Let's start with them. So the game, as we know, Madison Square Garden, 12 o'clock Saturday
MSG. On Fox.
Seton Hall is 5-3. Sure. Yeah. I'll get, okay. We'll go with that.
I'm sorry. I wouldn't pay attention to what you say.
Seton Hall, the Pirates, are 5-3. They right now their losses are at Nebraska, second game of the season. Third game of the season, St. Louis, they lost. And then they just lost to Louisville by five. Played them actually pretty tough after Louisville came off of that big win over Michigan. But Seton Hall just played New Hampshire, got by, you know, by 20 points or so. But they've got a guard, Miles Powell, their leading scorer. He's number 13, averages 22 points a game. But they've got this other dude. I don't even know how to say his last name. I'm not even going to try. His first name is Sandro. His last name is like the entire alphabet, but he's number 23 for them. So watch out for him because he's almost averaging a double-double now. He's just that like consistent guy for them, kind of like a Reed Travis for us where you know he's going to do things right. He's going to get the points. He's going to get the rebounds. He's just a guy that can consist for them. What they look like. Did I pause again?
You went out of your ass.
Slow motion.
Duke
Oh, that was great.
Oh, gosh. I did on purpose.
See, what's best is that, because I thought you did that the other day when you were trying to take Max off and you fake froze. I was like, wait before you come back. Come on. Oh, wait. No, he did freeze again. But that's why, because it,
dude, what's up with your like internet connection?
You went in slow motion because you're like,
don't know.
Great, it was perfect. Oh gosh,
I don't even know. I don't even know.
Who do you have? Spectrum?
No, not anymore. Who do I have now? I don't even remember. I switched to somebody else.
Well, you obviously didn't have
it. He's feeding off a neighbor right now. That's yes.
Oh man. Anyway, UK is going to beat Seton Hall. I don't know. Go on to women's basketball.
I think that's going to be a good test too, since they just recently were playing them around the same time that they played Louisville on the schedule later this month. That's going to be a good kind of like barometer for us to see where we're at as we start to get in some of those tougher games. Women's basketball tomorrow, 7 p.m. Memorial Coliseum. I'll be there sitting in my normal spot on Media Row. Matt can take more pictures of my big bald spot. Put them on the internet for me.
Yep.
Circle me, everything, make sure it's highlighted. But we play Rhode Island. Rhode Island enters the game tomorrow night with a 5-2 record, winners of its last three games. They won some Ocean State tip-off kind of thing last weekend. Don't know what it's about. Started the season with a loss to Boston College, 88-64, and then it's won five of its last six, with wins coming over Robert Morris, Vermont, North Dakota, Providence, and Brown. So the only loss during that streak was one to Holy Cross. So they're a pretty solid team. They're averaging 65 points a game this season. They're hitting 38% from the field and 32% from long range. But it'll be a good matchup for us, I think. Coming off a break, I think these girls are going to be hungry to get back out on the court. They haven't played in over a week since that noon game against Moorhead last week. This is the first time that they've ever played Rhode Island in basketball. So it'll be something new, something exciting to see. So I'm interested to see how they come back after that little layoff and hit the court tomorrow at Memorial. So pay attention to our social media. We'll be covering that like we cover all our games whenever we're there. So I'll be giving in-game tweets and stuff like that. And we'll also have – I'll be attending tomorrow before this game at 2. They're having a men's basketball press conference. So we'll have some player availability in, I think, Coach Cal. I think they rotate around. I think this is his time to be out. So we will look for some of that stuff coming out to us early evening before the basketball game at 7. And then Friday at 2 o'clock. So quick turnaround. The women's – why do I always do that? The women's volleyball team. We don't have another volleyball team.
No.
The volleyball team is going to be taking on Nebraska, of all teams.
Revenge for Wandell.
Yeah, revenge for Wandell. This is the team that knocked them out last year, so they've got a little fire in them. And here's the great thing. Last year, whenever they got knocked out by Nebraska, it was coming off the second game of the weekend. So they didn't have a lot of time to prepare. Now they had almost a week to prepare to get ready for them. And plus, after facing them last year, these girls are pretty fired up to go after them. So I think it's going to be a good game. You know, they're number 7 seed. We're number 10 seed. It's getting down. We beat them tomorrow, then we got to turn around and on Saturday face the number 2 seed in home host Minnesota. So it's a tough weekend for them, but this team likes to see those kind of matches and likes to see those kind of games. So speaking of awards, we talked about before the All-SEC team that was released before the NCAA tournament and the girls that made that, but then also the American Volleyball Coaches Association came out with their awards this week. And making the all-region team were senior Brooke Morgan, junior Leah Edmond. Allie Stumler was named honorable mention. Madison Lilly was actually the Southeast Regional Player of the Year and also made the all-region team. And Gabby Curry was all-region as well. And Coach Skinner picked up his second award. He was SEC Coach of the Year, and he's also been named the Southeast Regional Coach of the Year by the AVCA. So awards all over the place.
Lots of awards. That trophy case is huge for UK right now.
That's got to be.
Hashtag everything school.
So, Max, you remember how it was at Cal? Like, whenever we get a trophy, you'd go sit up by the athletic department's office. Do you imagine, like, if that's the same thing in college? Like, Mitch's office just has, like, 1,000 trophies laying around right now. Yeah. Plaques and trophies. Whose is that? I don't remember. It's got dropped off the other day. Yeah. Somebody wants some
rifles is here somewhere. No, that's soccer. Let's see. You want to take one home? I mean, we got several of them. I mean, you want to just take one home?
You want a regional? You want an SEC? What do you want? Yeah,
give them the Conference USA one. Give them that one. Oh gosh, that's awesome.
It was. It is awesome. It's good stuff.
But you know what's good stuff? The fattest thing I did this week. So ever since we started doing this, so my wife has made sure to let me know that she listens to the live radio show, but she doesn't listen to the podcast. And I was like,
what?
Well, this was my explanation. I was like, but why? She goes, why? I mean, why should I listen to it? I only listen for you. Sorry, guys. But she goes, I hear your part throughout the entire house. I can't escape it. So why in the world would I want to listen to it a second time? And I was like, kind of mean it up front, and the delivery was bad, but okay, I understand. And then she has now purposely started watching me throughout the week when I eat to gauge the fattest thing I did this week.
So what we should do is bring her on and call this segment Ashley's
That is Fattest awesome. Thing that Max did this week. Ashley's take on Ash. What Max...
We're putting her on the spot right now.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, she won't do it. Oh, my goodness. She won't do it. Put money on this if she... Put money on this if
she... Wedding Crashers over here. Ma! Meatloaf! Meatloaf!
Meatloaf!
Ash! Oh,
gosh.
When was I a fat pig this week, Ash?
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So, Ash. She just came in here, so... We may put her on the spot on this.
Oh, there's Mitchell.
Yeah, hey, awesome dog also.
Ashley Godby presents Fattest Thing Max Did This Week.
So basically...
In her opinion, what is the fattest thing that Max did?
So they're asking you right now, what is the fattest thing I did this week?
Oh, shoot. What was it the other
day? She goes, oh, what was it the other day?
Which time?
Oh, he made mac and cheese with Miller Lite instead of milk.
Nice.
All right, thanks, love. Bye. Love you.
What did that even taste like?
We have been gone for so long. We finally get home, and I'm trying to find anything, like anything to cook, and literally all we had was four slices of American cheese, some pasta for I don't know how long's been in the cupboard, and then I had a
wait, you sliced cheese?
That's all we had, Matt. It still worked.
Miller Lite.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But here's the bad thing, though. It didn't taste bad. We ate it all. But then we went to the grocery and I was able to cook normally now.
Oh my God.
I made a great chopped salad with chicken on it and it was fantastic. And she goes, yes, this is so much better than Miller Lite mac and cheese.
Jeez. Wow.
Smokes.
Wow. Good for you.
Thanks.
Man.
Oh, I'm telling you, try, don't knock it till you try it. I probably wouldn't do it again, but it was a fun experiment in my life that I'll look back at fondly. Wow. Kind of like living in.
Okay, before she said that, what were you going to say?
I was going to say that. But I was going to phrase it a little differently than. Because it needs a setup. It needs a setup. There was a reason why I did that. There was reasoning behind it.
Wow. I got to get up early because I got to put this video up tomorrow.
Yeah. God, that was great.
Oh, gosh. Oh, see, that's – oh, gosh. She called my bluff also because she said she'll never get on to a podcast.
She didn't even hesitate.
No, not at all.
And she had Mitchell too, which is even better.
Wow.
So top that, guys.
I don't think it can be.
No, I don't think it can be.
Mine definitely won't.
No.
Whew. I mean, I'm probably going to freeze up while I'm saying this, but I number one, I've had two double lunches this week, and one, which isn't out of the norm, but the reasons behind them.
All right. Spoiler, I got nothing. After these two, I'm not even going to attempt to try.
Did you all actually hear what I said, or am I frozen? You're laughing at my face.
No, you're good. No, okay, you're good. No, we all just right. heard double lunches. It's oh, like, double lunches.
Right, cool. No, no, what happened? It wasn't that I had a couple double lunches.
I had double lunches this week.
Which
so.
Is nothing uncommon. No,
it's not. Yeah. The first one was a client that I was going with decided he wanted to go to Vinaigrette Salad Kitchen. Obviously, I'm not a rabbit, so I'm going to need something else that's got something in it. So that was number one, the first double lunch. The second double lunch was the day that I forgot to eat breakfast. I got so busy and on phone calls, I was at home. And I usually make breakfast like as I get going. So many calls, I forgot to eat breakfast. I look up, it's 10:30, and I was like, "Huh, sweet, I get two lunches today." It was just like in my mind, automatic. No question
that's not
about
how
it.
That like, works, Matt.
No, it's how it works. I could have eaten three lunches and not had dinner. That's how it works. You get three a day.
You would have had dinner.
Oh, I for sure would have had dinner.
Oh gosh, that would have been. Sorry, I just won't have dinner and just have three lunches right now. And also, you go home and have a big old dare. It's like, what happened? He goes, I don't know. It just all escalates so quick. The math lined up.
The math was perfect earlier.
Well, technically, I wouldn't call that one a double lunch because the salad was just an appetizer.
Yeah.
This is the question. What did you have there?
A vinaigrette?
Yeah. What did you get?
What did I get? I got the one that was it's called the Maki shrimp, but I got it with chicken instead of shrimp. So I don't know what's in it. Just a bunch of stuff. It was good, but it's just like I eat it and I'm like, cool. I just gave my jaw a workout and I don't feel any different. Yes. So
I got nothing.
Oh, gosh.
I got nothing.
Is there any way in post edit, because Trevino told me this, who Trevino's former player, friend of the show, one of my dearest friends, and he calls me a couple weeks ago dying laughing, like laughing while he's on the phone, and he goes, dude, I just came up with the greatest thing ever for the show. I was like, okay, what? And he goes, you all need to do the fattest thing I did this week in any food topic and put it in slow motion. I was like, what? And he goes, I listened to you all in slow motion. It is the fattest thing I've ever heard. I was like, oh my gosh. And I went and I listened to it. I couldn't breathe. I was laughing so hard. So as soon as this goes up in the morning, I'm definitely listening to it on my way into work. And I don't know what I'm going to do. Cause just those two conversations in general, just, he made Miller Lite mac and cheese. I had two double lunches.
It wasn't the fact that I get the double lunches. I'm all for the double lunches. He goes, a couple times, but that's nothing new. It's common. It happens.
Yeah, it's common.
Oh, that's great.
So if we could figure out a way for all food topics for us to just go in slow motion, that may
we don't have more.
I got an idea. Just come get on my Wi-Fi and it'll be in slow motion.
Dude, it nailed it that one time. That was great. I was thinking you were joking again. I was like, wow, he's pulling this one off good. He's nailing the slow motion.
Nope.
Oh, gosh. Well, that was fun.
This is fun. Yeah. That's why we do this. Our fans think we do it because we want to entertain them, but no, we entertain ourselves.
No. So someone asked me, he goes, so what's the point of the show? And usually, you know, there's a mission statement and people throughout it's like, well, this is the purpose of the show. I was like, I don't know. I think I just like talking crap to Matt and Lyle.
Yeah.
And then some people just think they find it funny. So
I mean, if anybody else finds out the purpose or finds out why this is becoming so popular, let us know. Clue us in. We're just going to do what we do.
Yeah.
But that way we will have an answer for the, you know, the suits and everything that asks us questions. We can say, well,
So what exactly do you do here? Which Cumulus Radio asks us several times.
No idea.
This question for you. What do you think we do?
What do you think we do?
So, and then after that, they go, do you want us to host, do you want to host the cruiser show? It's like, you sure?
If you want us to.
Did you not hear what happened with Larry Glover?
I'm going to need you to sign some waivers again, but.
I can only promise that we'll try. That's all I can promise.
You understand what you're getting into.
Oh gosh. All right. Do we have a winner on the poll, or they'll just find out on
I think it is still I did it through tomorrow.
Okay. So
but I if you give me a second, I can probably get us an update here in a minute. Oh, don't put me under that kind of pressure.
So anyway, for anyone that hasn't listened to the last episode, you're going to get to choose what music we play on 590 VOK, the Sunday show of BB and Chalk Talk. And it was mine, which was Johnny Cash, Matt's, which was Def Leppard, and Lyle's, which was Christmas music, and Dealer's Choice for David.
Yeah, he gets to pick. Looking at it, we still have 2 days left on the poll. Tied at 32% is Max and Matt.
Ooh.
But they're still both behind my 36% from Christmas music.
Can we
say where y'all were tied at?
It's true.
Y'all were tied.
It's valid.
So
can we find a Johnny Cash and Def Leppard Christmas album?
That is a question for the man on the board that has access to the multiple files of songs that he can pick from.
That's called bipartisanship right there.
I don't think I could say that word.
Yeah.
For Matt Smith and Greg Lyle, my name is Max Scottby. You've been listening to BB and Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi Cola Bottling. Have a great afternoon, and go Cats!